When the scripture readings change from what they're listed in the bulletin, it sometimes can mean what we might call adventures in preaching. Because it means that what I originally thought I was going to preach on, I am not going to preach on. And I have to say that this sermon I actually wrote between the 9 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service last night as the Spirit led. And I knew I had an illustration, but I couldn't find it, but I found it at 10 after 10 this morning. So it's contemporary. For the second reading, I'm reading from the book of Hebrews. You'll find this on page... Oh, it is the one listed in there. I'm sorry. I didn't change that one. It's the one listed in the bulletin, Hebrews 1, 1 to 4, and the page is 218. You might not think this is a kind of a Christmas message, but it is in the book of Hebrews. Listen to God's word. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All throughout Advent, we have been talking about angels in Advent. We kind of did last night as well, and we're ending that series this morning. And to begin, I have a question for you. Have you heard the angels? Especially, have you heard the angels this Christmas? We looked at a number of people in the biblical narrative who had heard from angels. We heard from a man named Zechariah, who was a priest, and who, while performing his priestly duties, the angel Gabriel came and appeared to him, stood beside him in the holy place in the temple, and told him very significant news that they were going to have a miracle child. Because he and his wife Elizabeth were quite elderly, they'd kind of given up on that, although it was still something of an unfulfilled prayer request. And of course, this one would be named John, and we would know him later as John the Baptist. Then that same angel, Gabriel, we heard, went and visited a young teenager, a female teenager, in Nazareth by the name of Mary, and told Mary, that she was highly favored of God, and that she was going to have a miracle baby as well. The angel Gabriel also told her about her relative Elizabeth at the end of their conversation. But the particular child, as you know, that Gabriel announced to Mary would be the Son of God. He would be the Messiah. It was the dream of every Jewish woman, especially in their younger years, that they would be the mother of the Messiah. And here this peasant girl was told by an angel that nothing is impossible with God, and that she would bear the Son of God, that God, through the Holy Spirit, would be the child's father. Then we read about a communication of angel. I think it was the same one, but it's not directly stated in the text. Through a dream to the man to whom Mary was engaged. They were in that period of betrothal of 1 year where they were for all intents and purposes married, yet they were not living together as man and wife, and so it was impossible that Joseph would have been the father of the child. And when Joseph found out that Mary was going to have a child, he, being the man that he was, realized that this was not a woman he could take as his wife, but in that he would divorce her as per the custom or as the proceedings of the day, and that, but he would do it quietly out of compassion for her. The angel told Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her is indeed the Son of God. By implication, is indeed the Messiah, and you're to call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people and indeed the world from their sins." The angel had occasion to communicate with Joseph three other times in dreams. But the one we think of, angels at Christmas, is the one that Hannah read for us and was talked about last night. And the passage from Luke 2 has been read all over the world last night and today. For it's about shepherds who are just going about their business at night. And all of a sudden, that same angel, I think it was Gabriel again, he's the one who announces all the good news, tells them that there is good news of great joy for all the people, that to them, these poor shepherds, as well as to all of us, a child was being born in Bethlehem, the city of David, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, but also the Son of God. And then the heavenly choir, it says they said, but I believe they sang, and I'm not alone in that. How can you have a heavenly choir just saying, you know, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among people with whom God is well pleased? Now, I'm sure if we had a heavenly choir saying that to us, we would be duly impressed. But I think they sang. So these individuals had messages from God communicated through the angel. It was, in some cases, what they needed to hear. Zechariah needed to hear it, and it was a challenge to his faith. Zechariah didn't believe it. And we know what happened. He was unable to speak during the 9 months until the child was born. Mary almost seems to not believe it. She asks a question, but she submits. She says, "May it be done to me as you have said," and as an act of faith, being told that nothing is impossible with God, she says, "Okay." And she becomes the mother of Jesus, the mother of Christ. God-bearing, not just Christ-bearing, but God-bearing, say some of the creeds. And then the angels had that good news that they were among the lowliest people, the lowliest class of people. They were considered unclean. You would not have them in your home. But yet we hear that they were received by Joseph and by Mary to watch the child. Have you heard the angels? And if you have, what have they communicated to you? Or if you haven't, maybe what do they need to communicate to you? The illustration I was looking for I don't know if I'll take the time to read the whole thing, is one written by a man named Glenn Kittler, and it's called The Littlest Shepherd. And rather than read it, I'll just tell you, it's about the shepherds, little shepherd boy out there with the shepherds, whose father goes to run to Bethlehem, and the boy's having a hard time keeping up. And the father says, "We got to go see what the angels sang about." And the boy says, "What? I didn't hear anything." And he goes on again a little more, and over, the gist of the story is that although everyone else heard the angels sing, the little boy did not hear the angels sing, and he gets to Bethlehem, and in the story he actually gets inside where the manger is, and the story is to be continued before the sermon is over. If I somehow go off on a tangent and forget to wrap it up, you remind me before I say amen. I got to tell you, I've had a hard time hearing the angels this year. Earlier this week, I did two funerals here in this sanctuary. We had the deaths of Richard Zimmer. We had the very unexpected death of Stan Stoltz. And on top of that, we hear about Frank Sutton. What you also don't know is that there has been a death within our presbytery of someone who's been in our pulpit. Her name is Wendy Bailey. She was a woman in her late 50s, I believe. And Wendy, as a result of complications from surgery, very unexpectedly died. And she was the chief officer of the presbytery and kind of like the pastor to all of our pastors. Some of you may remember she's been with us on a couple of occasions, and I can tell you she has helped us along the way. And her funeral will take place tomorrow morning at the Allentown Church at 11 o'clock, and we're going. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's hard in Christmas to hear the angels, the families of those who've lost loved ones, maybe blocked in their grief from hearing. Those for whom Christmas is maybe nostalgic isn't the best way, but I think for many, Christmas kind of has an ache in it. There is the joy of the moment, but there's always something about the loss of Christmas's past, the loss of our childhood, or the loss of the home in which we grew up, in which we have all of our Christmas memories, or the fact that we're not home for Christmas. Suzanne talked about that at the 9 o'clock service last night. I did get some glimpses of the angels last night at the 5 o'clock service. How could you not? If you've never come to that, you really have to. I thought yesterday, last night's was exceptional. Children singing, our children's choir, the CPNS choir, and graduates of our nursery school on up into high school were up here singing the three songs they always sing, led by Mrs. K. And then the pageant with so many shepherds and sheep and wise men and women and Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger sitting there. Yeah, I began to hear the angels. I heard the angels at the 9 o'clock peeking through with the wonderful chorale singing Carol of the Bells, a beautiful rendition. But I got to tell you, gathering for that 11 o'clock service, there's just something magical about that 11 o'clock candlelight communion service. And we were singing the opening hymn, "All, O Come All Ye Faithful." And I heard an angel soaring above us, and it was Jenny Collins in her beautiful voice singing the descant on the last verse, and I knew that the angels were around, and that for me, in some ways, that felt like the beginning of Christmas for me. We're gathered here this morning in kind of a less formal, more casual way of being together. And so I ask again, have you heard the angels? And if not, maybe there's a couple things you can do about it. Maybe you can open your heart, no matter what the circumstances of your outward life is or are. Maybe you can open your heart to listen with your heart to the message of the angels. Let me tell you the end of the story of the little boy. He goes to the manger and sees that the little baby is wrapped only in what we call swaddling clothes or cloths, and he gives the baby his jacket to keep warm, and then he hears the angels. That's the story. If we're having trouble hearing the angels, then maybe we can hear the angels in our own words if we share the message that they shared. If we tell of the child, if we speak of the reality of Christmas in our own homes and in our own lives. If we do that, then perhaps we can hear the angels. A poem by Ann Weems, whom I just love, Presbyterian. Wouldn't it be grand to be an angel? With this, I'm closing. Wouldn't it be grand to be an angel and have as your address the realms of the glory of God, and swing on rainbows and gather stars in your pockets, winging in and out of earth in a flurry of moon dust with the messages of God, comforting the distressed, warning the righteous, delivering the just, guarding little children. Of course, we can comfort and warm and warn and deliver and guard. Maybe if we get that right, we can swing on rainbows later. If you're having trouble hearing the angels, serve in the name of Christ. Give in the name of Christ. And speak the message of the angels in your own voice. And I guarantee you'll hear the angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.